Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
It's good to be nervous, and I'm not cocky. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about who I am, share a little bit of my testimony. I shared my testimony, I think it was last month, at Audience for One. And then Keith asked me to come and share my testimony, not share my testimony, to come bring a word today. He said you can either share your testimony or bring a word. So I'm going to do a little bit of both. Because you've not come here this morning to hear about me. You've come here to hear about Jesus. So I'm just going to say a little bit about me so you can think, who is that geezer speaking on the front? And then we'll get to hear about what we're here for, Jesus Christ. So my name's Gary. This is my lovely wife, Anya. Say hi, Anya. Bible College, me to Keith, and I was speaking about Bible College. And then I ended up signing up for Mission Bible College, which I started that in September. And then thought, what have I done? It's a big thing to do, Bible College. Went through a lot of battles, but I'm doing it. Anya's currently doing hands-on as well, so we're both studying. It's a little bit crazy at our house, but it's all good. Anya's from Poland originally. She moved to the UK about 13 years ago. She works as a TA in a school. She loves Jesus, loves the Bible, loves working with women. So go and say hello to her. She doesn't bite. I've told her to behave. So she's very friendly. Myself, I come from, I grew up in Blackpool and it's in Manchester. For many years, I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was in and out of prison, spent a lot of time in prison until the Lord saved me about 11 years ago in Coventry. I went to a drug rehab just down the road in Whitby called Murray Lodge, which some of you might know. And I got to hear the gospel. And then the Lord saved me, and then since then I've been out of prison, which is really good. I've not been back. I've been back to preach the gospel, to take the gospel, which is amazing. I got my first job when I was 28 years old, working in care work, looking after people with mental health. That was a few years later. My first job was working in a church, because nobody else had employed me, because I've got a really bad criminal record. So nobody wanted to employ me in the church. Thought, we'll give him a go, we'll give him a chance. And I was a caretaker. Oh, I take my hat off to caretakers. It is such a difficult job. So that was my job. And then and God has graciously blessed me since then. Over these last 11 years, I bought a house. That's not bad, is it, for someone that spent years in prison that used to burgle houses? You know what I mean? Now I own one. I've got a really good security system, though. Do you know what I mean? I've learned from my mistakes of other people. So God's been really good to me. I've got two kids. They live in Blackpool. They're teenagers now. But that's enough about me. Now we want to hear about Jesus, don't we? We want to hear about him. I hope you're encouraged anyway by my story and Anya's. Come and say hello to us. And that'd be great. So, before I start, can everybody hear me? Can everybody understand me? That's really good. I remember sharing my testimony once in a church in Wales. And a woman come up to me at the end. She said, I really loved your testimony, but I just didn't understand the thing you said. Bless her. I remember when I first come to Coventry, nobody could understand me, because I had like a proper Mancunian accent, and I was like, in it, and man, at the end of every word. I still do that now a little bit. My wife, she's like, I'm a woman, I'm not a man. I'm like, all right, man, chill out. And somebody said to me, you need elocution lessons, you do, so I can understand you. Bless him. This is what God sounds like, get used to it. So I'm going to bring the message, word of God. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll see what God wants to say. So Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you invite us into your presence, God. Thank you, as Keith said, we can freely gather together today to worship you, to hear you, and to see what you're doing. I pray, God, for your people today that you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see, God. I pray for those that are here, God, that don't know you, God, that might just come to church because it's what they've always done, God, that they would hear your voice this morning, God. Your word says faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Give us ears to hear, God, that we would be changed today, God. And as we go on into this new year, God, that we would see your hand at work in our lives, Father. And I pray, God, for my lips, that you would sanctify these lips, God, that what comes out of me, God, is from you. And that what is from you, God, bears fruit, and what's from me just falls to the ground, and I just fade away, God. Through Jesus' name and for his glory, I pray. Amen. Amen. So we're coming to that time of year now, of starting a new year. On the 1st of January, we start a new year. And what do people generally do on the 1st of January? New Year's resolutions. Or stay in bed with a really bad hangover. But we shouldn't do that. We should be good Christians and not drink. Be in bed at 9 o'clock on New Year's Eve. But it's New Year's resolutions. New Year's resolutions are good. The good things, New Year's resolutions. It's not bad to make a New Year's resolution. And as believers, we can make them every day of the year. But today, I'm going to do something different. A New Year's resolution is saying, I commit to doing something different this year. I commit from the 1st of January to change a bad habit or to start a new good habit. I'm going to change this year. I'm going to do something different. And it's being intentional about it. So some of the most common New Year's resolutions are things like this. So to lose weight, to eat healthier, drink less alcohol, sleep more, get a new hobby, move house, get a new job, or get out of debt. They're some of the common ones. But us spiritual people are different. So some of our New Year's resolutions might be like this. To give more money financially to the church. To serve more. To serve the church, to serve people more. To read the Bible more. To pray more. Or if you're really honest, it might be to gossip less. Imagine that as a New Year's resolution. This year, I'm going to gossip less. I'm going to talk more about Jesus than anybody else. That is a good one. Or if you're even more honest, it might be to complain less. That's a bit of my one, that. Honesty is the best. Keith said to me all the time, you're really honest, and I really like that. Just wait till I tell you what I feel about you. I'm only kidding, you're all right. Or it might be to be more hospitable. It might be to forgive more. It might be to work on your marriage throughout the year. It might be to be more patient, more loving, more joyful, more hopeful, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on and on and on about good habits that we can form in our lives to create godly character in us in 2019, or to get rid of some bad habits in our lives. Because generally, when we talk about habits, we talk about bad ones, don't we? Like, I really struggle with this, or I need to stop doing this. Why don't we try and get into that habit of talking about the good ones that we do? Encouraging other people. I'm into this habit of spending time with God. I'm into this habit of reading the word. I'm into this habit of praying. There's loads of books and apps out there as well that we can read. Or films on YouTube that we can watch, and they'll tell us 10 ways to have a better prayer life. 4 reasons the Bible says that you can have a successful marriage. The purpose-driven life. There's so many different things that can help us, to aid us, to do new habits and to get new things in our lives. I could come to you today and I could give you 101 reasons what the Bible says to create godly habits in our life. But I want to talk about one habit that if we get into this habit, it'll smash all the other habits to pieces. All them other habits will just form naturally in our lives if we get this one habit, which we as Christians struggle so much to do. We fail at it and we give up at it. This one habit. This habit is the most important habit that we could get into our life. This morning, I want to talk about the habit of intentionally, you're going to hear that word a lot this morning, intentionally spending time one-to-one with God. One-to-one, intentionally, just you and God alone, daily. You can call that a quiet time, a God time, a closet time, whatever time you want to call it. But one-to-one with God. May 2019 be the year that we do that. If we form that habit into our life, that'll change so many different areas in our life. Spending one-to-one time with God, we can neglect it so much. We can just be so busy doing things for God. We can be so busy learning about God, getting a lot of knowledge about God, but we don't spend time to get to know God. What about if 2019 was the year of knowing God? The year of knowing God. Do you know that Jesus is the most important person that we could have in our life? That is the most important relationship that we should be intentionally investing into. The Bible says that he was there before anything else. Before anything in this world, he was. Jesus was. The Bible says that we are going to spend eternity with him. So we need to get to know him now. Because we're going to be with him for eternity. And do you know what? If we find it hard to be in his presence now, how are we going to survive for eternity? If we don't want to be in his presence now, we won't want to be with him for eternity. Jesus is the pizza base and the pizza topping. Hey, Keith. He is the one that's going to get us over the finish line. He is the one that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient. He is the one that we need to invest our time into. In 2019, whether we've been a believer for 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 weeks, or 5 years, this is the most important thing that we could do. All the other things are good, but this is the most important thing that we could do in 2019. Paul says in the book of Philippians, it is my desire to know him, to know him, to know Christ, and the power of his resurrection and his death, to know him and his death. He wanted to know everything about that lamb. And I don't know about you, but I want to know him. I want to be intentional about knowing him. Anybody else want to do that? That's a good thing, isn't it? So we're doing all right. So today, I'm going to bring a really simple message. Who likes simple messages? A simple message. The Bible says that we've got a simple gospel. So today, I want to keep it simple. And I like to keep it really simple as well, because I'm quite stupid. Do you know what I mean? I'm a bit slow, so I need it really easy to understand, really easy to digest. So that's what we're going to try and do. So why should we be intentional in 2019 in spending time alone with God? One reason is this, because we are children of God. Because God is our Father. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you have believed that he lived, he died, and he rose again, if you have repented and turned from your sin, that the Bible says that you are forgiven, that God adopts you into his family. Did you know that God is in the business of adoption? The Bible says that God adopts us into his family, and that we can call him Father, and that Jesus is our big brother. That's pretty cool, isn't it? What an amazing fact, just what an amazing statement to say, that God is my Father. God is my Father. If you just reflect on that, you won't need any more reasons that I'm going to give you to spend time with God. Just the fact that he is your Father and that you are his son or you are his daughter is enough facts for me to say, let's spend time with him. Ephesians says this, talking about God and adoption. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's plan, God's predetermined purposes, that we should be sons and daughters. It was God's design and God's idea that we should be sons and daughters. That is just an amazing fact, that we should be his children. It says in the book of Acts this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is God's doing, it is God's invitation, it is God's design. And God enables us to be his children. And we deserve nothing of him. We deserve nothing, and he opens us, welcomes us with open arms. Come into my presence, come and speak to me. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. What an amazing God. The Bible says that God gives us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a deposit to say, this is mine, he's mine, she's mine. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that seal is unbreakable. That seal is unbreakable. God is faithful to what he says he's going to do. So I know that thinking about God as the Father, that might touch a nerve with some people in here today. Because you might not have had a really good experience with your dad. You might have really bad thoughts about your dad, or really negative thinking towards your dad on earth. But you need to know this morning that God is not like your dad. And he's not like my dad. The Bible says that God is the perfect heavenly Father. That is amazing. He is the perfect Father. Whatever you imagine to be perfect, he is higher than that. The Bible says that God wants to give good gifts to his children. And he delights to spend time in his children. You might have a really good relationship with your dad, which is great. You might have a fantastic relationship, really good thoughts about your dad. Praise God for that. That is a blessing to you. But our heavenly Father is still the perfect Father. Let's be intentional in 2019 in getting to know God as our Father and getting to know what it is to be a son and daughter of the King. Another reason why we might spend time with God, or why we should spend time with God, is because the Bible gives us examples of godly men who spent time with God, who God called to be alone with him. And what greater example than Jesus Christ of being alone with God? Some of the greatest examples of people being alone with God are found in the Bible. We're going through a series of Exodus, becoming who we are. I remembered it. That's good, isn't it? Becoming who, that's a point for me. Not like we're getting points and stuff, but. So we're going through Moses. Did you know that Moses was alone with God? God called Moses to be alone with him. He was alone when God spoke to him through the burning bush. He was alone with him for 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai. 40 days and 40 nights getting the Ten Commandments. Imagine being alone with God for 40 days and 40 nights. Would that be amazing? Yeah, we struggle to be alone with God for 40 minutes. Imagine 40 nights and 40 days. It would, like, would kill us. Do you know what I mean? Like, God called us into it. It's an amazing fact. What about Jacob? He was alone all night long. He got rid of his family, put them all over the river. And then he was alone all night long with God, wrestling with God until God blessed him. Why don't we in 2019 become professional wrestlers? Would that not be amazing? Just wrestle with God. Wrestle with God and God will bless you. God will bless you. You probably know other examples in the Bible. I'm just giving you a few. Other examples of people that spent time alone with God. But none more so than Jesus Christ. I'm going to read a few scriptures where Jesus was alone with God. Matthew says this, and when he had sent the multitude away, talking about Jesus, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there with God. Jesus departed to be alone with God. Luke says, now when it was day, he departed and went alone into a deserted place. Jesus went alone to be alone with God. Luke again says this, now it come to pass in those days that he went out on the mountain to pray and continued all night long in prayer. Imagine praying all day, all night. Imagine staying up all night long and praying. I fall asleep after about 10 minutes in prayer, but it's really difficult. Imagine being able to stay up all night with prayer. And again in Luke it says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. If you read through the gospel accounts, you'll see many, many different examples and accounts of Jesus withdrawing from the disciples, coming away from the crowds to spend time alone with God, to spend time alone with his Father. Why do you think that there's so many different examples? I think they're there for us. They're there for us to read, and they're there for us to see what it looks like for a father-son relationship. What it looks like to have a relationship with God and to be his son. And I think they're there to show us as well how we need to depend on God. If Jesus, who was God in the flesh, needed to depend on God, how much more so do we need to spend that time investing intentionally to be with God? You would see Jesus often going away to be with God. Whatever was going on in his life, however busy he was, whatever ministry he was doing, whatever decisions he needed to make, you'd see him first go off to be with God. Often we're the opposite. Often we make decision and then go to God when we got the decision wrong. Often we do the ministry and then God ask God to bless it after it. Let's get our priorities right. Let's get time with God. Let's spend time with God alone. Jesus knew how important his relationship was and he guarded it. He spent time investing into it. Another reason why we should spend time with God. I've only got 99 left, so you're all right. We're going to get there today, but to the end of it. We might be going home late. So another reason why the Bible says that why we should spend time with God is because the Bible tells us to. The Bible commands us to come and spend time with God. Psalm 119 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible should inform us as Christians, as believers, of our life and our lifestyle. It tells us about who God is, who Jesus is, and who we are. The Bible tells us about our past as humans, and it tells us about our future as well, where we've come from and where we're going. The Bible tells us about God's will for our lives, what we're to believe and how we're to live. And God's will is that we should spend time with him intentionally, one-to-one. See, God is not a God with an app on his phone or a remote control saying, "You must come and sit with me, you must spend time with me at 2 o'clock Gary, 3 o'clock Keith, 4 o'clock Anya." He's not there dictating when we should spend time with him. He wants us to truly choose to go and spend time with him. He wants us to choose to go and be in his presence. The Bible says that's why we was created. We was created to have a relationship with the Creator, with God. If we don't intentionally spend time with God, how are we going to build that relationship up? The relationship with God is unique because God is God. But the way that we build that relationship is just the same formula as how we build it up with people as well, by talking, by listening, by spending time together. It says in the book of James, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Again in Isaiah, God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Come into my presence, come and speak to me. Let's go through this together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they should be like white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be like wool." Romans 8:1, "There is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." There's loads of them. Matthew 27 says this, "Then behold, the veil was torn in two. The temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." God, through his word, the Bible, invites us to come into his presence. He invites us to come into a relationship with him. But we need to be intentional in accepting that invitation. The Bible says that the veil that was torn in two, we can now enter the most holiest holies. We can go into God's presence. All that sin that stops us, all that sin that separates us, all that sin that held us bound no longer keeps us bound. We can walk in freedom and we can go into the most holy. We can be in God's presence because we're not going to die. We're not going to die because of the blood of the Lamb, because of what Jesus done. What better reasons to go into the presence of God? What better reasons to be intentional in our relationship with God? So we just looked at three. There's so many more. There's loads more. So I read there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Over 7,000 promises. Do you know what I mean? Just one of them promises is enough to go in his presence. 7,000. So we looked at, why should we spend time with God? Because God is our Father. Because the examples of the Bible, especially Jesus, and because the Bible tells us to. So now we're going to look at, is everybody still with me? Super. Is everybody, am I getting there? Is everyone understanding? Yeah? What we're going to do next year? Oh, I might as well go home now. So now, we're going to look at So that's really good. You say, Gary, that's really good. Yeah, but there's loads of reasons why I can't spend time with God. There's loads of things that are in my life that distract me from spending time with God. So what are some of them things? I'm going to start speaking a little bit quicker because I've got loads to read out. Oh, Keith said it's all right anyway, didn't you? A couple of hours would be fine. Oh, thank you, man. That's really kind of you. What a servant, man. Well done, man. If anybody gives the least of these a cup of water in my name, hey? Hey? So let's briefly look at some of the reasons what hinder us or distract us or stop us from entering in the presence of God, because we know that we should build that relationship up, yeah? We talk about it a lot. We're like, yeah, I need to spend that time with God, or we might think it, but what stops us? And the thing is, most of the time, most of the things that stop us from spending time with God are just excuses. We're really good at making excuses. We can find time to find the things that we enjoy. We can find time to find things that satisfy us, but we can't find time or energy to spend time with God. We find so many things that distract us from spending that time with God. One of the biggest reasons that people don't spend time with God is because they're busy. I'm just too busy. I've got no time to spend time with God. I'm too busy with my family. I'm too busy with my kids. I'm too busy with my job. I'm too busy with my college. I'm too busy with whatever it is that takes up 24 hours of our day, that we're so busy that we can't spend time with Jesus, who is the most important person that we should be spending time with. You remember the story about Mary and Martha in the book of Luke? Like, Martha's running around, she's really busy, she's got visitors, Jesus has come for dinner, there's probably about 16 people there, the 12 disciples, Mary, Martha and Lazarus, so she's got a lot of people to serve. She's running around really busy and frantic, she's going crazy in there, cooking and all that. But Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Mary takes time, she knows what's really important. Martha goes to Jesus like, I'm rushing around, I'm doing everything, Mary, she's just sat there. She's doing nothing. And Jesus says, yeah, she's got the right thing. She's with me. She knows how important it is to spend time with me. Don't get me wrong. Service is good. We need to serve. We're called to serve. We're created to serve as well. And we've got responsibilities to look after our families. We've got responsibilities to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Do you know what I mean? So we've got responsibilities in our lives. But we can't let them responsibilities take over our time with Jesus. We can't become so busy that we spend no time with our King. 2019, let's make it intentional to spend time at the feet of Jesus. We have to do all these other things, but let's spend time at the feet of Jesus. People in ministry and Bible college have got this real difficulty as well of becoming too busy. We become so busy doing ministry, so busy doing studying, so busy writing essays that we can neglect time knowing God. So I'm at Bible college, so I've got loads of essays to write and I've got loads of books to read and I've got loads of things to do, and so is Anya at Hands On. But I can't let that get in way of my relationship with God. Just because I'm studying theology doesn't mean I don't read the Bible or spend time with God. That's got to come first and foremost in my life. And I'm intentional about that. I'm intentional about spending time with God outside of my work stuff, outside of my study stuff. We can become so busy doing things for Jesus that we can be completely and totally deceived. We can think we know him because we're serving him, yet we don't know him. Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let's not get so busy doing things for Jesus that we neglect him. Let's not get so busy in 2019 that we're so busy running around doing ministry, serving people, that we don't know him. I want to hear on that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. I knew you. You knew what was important. You knew to come to me. You knew to come to me. A couple of quotes that I like. One from R.A. Torrey says this: we are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. Many services, but no conversions. Much machinery, but few results. And a guy called Martin Luther says this: I have so much to do today. I have so much to do. I'm so busy that I'm going to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Imagine having that attitude. Our attitudes generally: I am so busy today, I'm not going to pray. How about if we changed our attitude in 2019? Like, I'm going to be a man of prayer. I'm going to be a man of the presence. I'm going to be a man that seeks God first and foremost. Or I'm going to be a woman that does. Another reason why people find it difficult to spend time with God is because people are tired. People get so tired because they're so busy. I'm just so tired, I've got no energy to spend time with God. If we made it a habit to spend time with God, we would find more energy. We would have more strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. If we're spending time in Jesus' presence, joying in Him, we would have more strength. If you're feeling tired all the time, start spending more time with Jesus, and you're going to be more energized. You're going to have more strength. It says in Isaiah, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you're tired, spend time with God. You will get energy. You will be refreshed. A guy called Charles Stanley says this: we can be tired, weary, and emotionally distraught. But after spending time with God, alone with God, we find that He injects into our bodies energy, power, and strength. Energy, power, and strength. Another reason why we might not spend time one-to-one with God is because we just don't know how to. We just don't know how to spend that time with God one-to-one. So we might have grew up in a Christian family. We might have been coming to church for years and we've heard a lot about God. We might have a lot of information about God, but we haven't took that time to spend it one-to-one to develop the relationship with God. We might not have been told or been taught about that personal one-to-one relationship with God. Or you might have been a believer. You might have known Jesus for years. And early on, that one-to-one time with God was so important for you. There was times in your life when you was like, that's going to happen. Nothing else is getting in the way. And that you loved it, that time with God. And it was so special to you. And you heard God and you related to God. And then you got discouraged. You got tired and you got weary and something happened. And then that time got shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And now you're just like a bystander. Why don't you be intentional in 2019, wherever we're at with God, wherever we're at, why don't we be intentional in building that relationship up with Him, spending time with Him, one-to-one seeking His face. Another reason why we might not spend time with God is because we're just lazy. We can just be really lazy. We don't want to put the time and effort in and the perseverance to love God with all our heart, body, mind, soul and strength. We want God to do everything and us just to get the rewards from what God has done. Sometimes we just go along for the ride rather than seeking His face. Some people don't even desire to be in God's presence. Might be some people, and hey, do you know what? You just come to church because it's something you've always done. Might come to church because that's what the family's always done, or what's expected of me. I might come to church because it's a really nice place and people are quite friendly. Some people don't come to church to get to know Jesus, which is really sad. One of the main reasons why people don't spend time with Jesus Christ is because we're not intentional about it. We're not intentional about it. We know that we should and we desire to and we want to, but we just don't set that time aside to do it. Don't say, this time of day, this time of night, I'm going to spend time with God, just me and God. No Facebook, no phones, no nothing, just me and God. Let us that love God, us that know God, us that desire God, make it intentional in 2019 to get to know Him, to spend time with Him. So some of the reasons why we don't spend time with God is because we're busy, we're tired, We don't know how to spend time with God. We just don't want to. Or we're just not intentional about it. There's many other reasons as well. They're just a few. But what would happen in 2019? What would happen in our lives, in our communities, in our families, in our homes, if we decided and made it a habit to spend time with God one-to-one? What would happen if we'd done that in our context? Because how you're going to do it is going to be different for each individual. What would happen? What does the Bible say as well? The promises of those that wait on the Lord. The promises of those that seek God. The promises of those that are intentional in spending time with Him. So what might a quiet time, a God time, a closet time look like in your context and my context? So we're all really different, which is really good, because if there was too many of me, there'd be too many. Do you know what I mean? We're all good and we're all individual and we've got different lifestyles, we've got different responsibilities, we've got different activities in our life that take up our time and take up our energy. So the time that I spend with God and my one-to-one is going to be different to everybody else's. So we need to be seeking God through the Holy Spirit intentionally, asking the Holy Spirit, what does that look like for me? We need to be looking at our diary. How can I regularly, on a daily basis, find time to be with God? The Holy Spirit, one part of His role is to point us to Jesus. It's to point us to God. He desires that we be in the presence of God. He is there to help us. What might that look like in your life? Obviously, it's going to look different for a parent mother with three kids to somebody that's married with one kid. It's going to look completely different to somebody that's got a full-time job that works 400 hours a week than to somebody that's got no job. It's going to look really different. But what does it look like in your context? How does that work for you? Look at it intentionally this next year. How can I spend time with God? How can I spend time with God? You might be a morning person. Is anyone a morning person here? Yeah, we've got one. Two. But so you're all night people. You're all lazy people. I'm a morning person. So you might be a morning person, like Jesus. So I'm trying to be intentionally be a morning person, which is quite hard to do. But it's so much different. So in my old lifestyle, I was a night rider. I'd be up all night taking drugs and drinking and committing crime, like Batman. And then in the daytime, I'd sleep all day. But that's massively changing now. So I'm intentionally trying to get up earlier with Jesus. Where I used to do it, where I'd just knacker myself out, where I'd just get up really early. I've not done it for a week. I feel really bad. And then I'd be like, I'm going to get up tomorrow really early. And I'd get up and I'd just be knackered and I'm moody all the time. But I'm really becoming aware of myself and my strengths and weaknesses. So now I do it slowly. So every day, well, I do it slower. Every day, I do it like 10 minutes earlier, do you know what I mean? Rather than just like going all at it and then knackering myself out and not doing it for another week, I'm gradually building it down. Jesus was a morning person. It says in Mark, it said, now in the morning, having risen a long time while it was daylight, he went and departed to a solitary place and there he prayed. Jesus got up while everyone else was still snoring to go and see his dad. He was intentional about it. The psalmist as well says in Psalm 5, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you. I will look up to you early in the morning. You might not be a morning person, which most of you aren't. I think there's three of us. We'll be all right. You might not be a morning person. Your best time, you might come alive at night time or in the evening. Or your best time might be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Whatever your best time is, that is the time to give to God. Make your best time of the day be your God time. That will be the best time of your day anyway. What time can we meet with God? Where can we meet with God? Intentionally. The time as well that we spend with God is going to be different for all of us. Depending again on our context and our capability. You might be somebody that can spend hours and hours and hours with God. If you can do that, then bless God, that's amazing, that's great. You might be somebody that can spend 10 minutes with God. 10 minutes alone, one-to-one with God. And bless God for that 10 minutes as well. Whatever it is in your context, but it's being intentional.
When can I be with God? How long can I be with God? Put it in your diary. Set a reminder on your phone. So if one-to-one time with God is really new to you, what I don't want you to do is think, right, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock, I'm going to pray for an hour, I'm going to read my Bible for an hour, and then I'm going to sit really quiet listening to God for an hour. That'd be a nightmare to do. I tried it. All that will do is knacker yourself out, and then you won't do it again till next year, 2020. If it's new to you, which it is to a lot of us, do you know what I mean? If it's new to you, start off with 10 minutes. 10 minutes, I'm going to be intentional with God. And through that 10 minutes, you'll start to taste and see that God is good, and you start building yourself up like a spiritual tool, like a spiritual thing, and then you become like a spiritual stick of dynamite after a year. Well, I just made that one up. It just come out then. And what might it look like? What might a one-to-one look like with you and God? It might be, just an example, that one day you read a chapter of the Bible. You, God, alone with the Bible. It's really good to read chunks of the Bible rather than just verses on their own, but that's all right as well. But you might read a chapter of the Bible and you might start praying it through with God, talking to God. What does this mean, God? What does it tell me about you? What does it tell me about me? What does it tell me about the world? Start writing little notes, and then before the end of the year, you've got a book. It's good, isn't it? You could be an author. Day two, you might think, I'm going to reflect, I'm going to meditate on one of the scriptures that I read yesterday that really jumped out to me. Start chewing that over, start meditating. What does that really mean? What does that scripture mean? And maybe take notes again, speaking to God through what it means. The next day you might read a psalm. The psalms are amazing. Like, it might be a psalm where you're speaking to God, or it might be a psalm where God's speaking to you. But it's that communication. It's developing that listening and talking to God in that one-to-one time. The next day you might put on an old hymn. There's some great theology in the old hymns. Or you might put on a worship song. You might just like sing it to God, and you might just like write one of the verses down and start meditating on that, start thinking about that. Just that personal, intimate one-to-one time with God. You might just be still. You might, you know what, I'm just going to be still in God's presence. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit there and enjoy His presence. What can you do intentionally in your context with that one-to-one time with God? You might be an outdoor kind of person where you speak to God outside, where you connect with Him in nature. They call it in cluster kicking leaves, where you just go out and you just go for a walk and listen to God. Whatever it is in your context, you might be able to hear Him in the hustle and bustle and the noisiness. David Wilkerson used to just walk around New York meditating on God in the busyness. That might be you. Being intentional. Oh, my time's flying by now. What will happen when you start spending time one-to-one with God, your perspective will start changing. Your outlook on life will start changing because you'll start to see it how God sees it. If you get along with God, God will change you. God will transform you. But it'll be difficult sometimes, and it'll be hard, and you'll want to quit. There'll be so many distractions. There'll be so many things to draw you away. That's why the word intentionality needs to become part of our vocabulary and the practice of being intentional, spending time with God. Matthew says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It says in the book of Philippians, "Be anxious in nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your own thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Matthew, before that verse, was talking about the worries of this world. Worrying about what we'll eat and what we'll drink and what we'll wear, where we'll live, what we're going to do. If we start spending time with Jesus, all them things will start fading away. We'll start forgetting about the things of this world and start thinking about the things of the kingdom. And the presence and the peace of God will give us peace. It will suppress all the worries and anxieties and the fears that we've got. So whatever your anxieties, whatever it is that consumes your time, whether that's your children going through difficult situations, whether that's you going through difficult situations yourself, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's a future, whether it's your neighbour, whether it's your neighbourhood, whatever it is that is eating away at you, if you spend your time with God, things will start changing. Things will start changing. You'll start worrying about them less as you start giving it to God. And do you know what? Things will change, but it might not be your circumstances that change. It'll be you that changes. God will keep you in the circumstances, but change you. I remember sharing my testimony at a street church in Warsaw. There's massive homeless problem, massive drinking drug problem at the centre of Warsaw. And I shared my testimony there, and a guy come up to me at the end and he said to me, like your testimony, I got saved in prison 10 years ago or something. I got saved in prison. And when I got out of prison, I decided not to go and get a flat. I decided to stay living on the streets and become a street pastor. He's a street pastor on the streets in Warsaw, looking after the homeless people. God didn't change his circumstances. He changed him and put him in the circumstances to change the circumstances. Woo, that was good, though, wasn't it? If you spend time with God intentionally, you will become less angry, less hopeless, less confused, less distant and discontent, more peaceful, more joyful, more hopeful, more compassionate and more kind. You'll start to bear fruit. So guys, to conclude with, God, who created the heavens and the earth, who was there before man began, before life began, who gave up everything that he holds dear in Jesus Christ, everything that he loved, he gave up that we could have a relationship with him, that we could know him one-to-one personally. God invites us into that relationship. We need to take the invitation, and we need to go to the party. We need to go to God. We need to make the effort to spend time with him. Do you know that God desires far more than we do to spend time with us? He wants to spend more time with us than we want to spend with him. If we will be intentional in 2019 in building our relationship up with God, we would be changed. Our household would be changed. Our families would be changed. Our streets would change. Our communities would change. This city would change. We would see change because we are in the presence of God, praying through things, talking through things. There's many things that will distract us and can distract us from our primary calling to know God. That is our primary calling. Let's not get distracted in 2019. Although it's good to do things, we can't not do things. We're not going to become monks, 21st century monks. It's too late for me anyway. I'm now married. But let's not get too busy knowing about him that we don't know him. Let's make it a habit of 2019 of spending one-to-one time with God. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to pray and then we're done. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the invitation that you invite us into a personal one-to-one relationship with you. Help us to be disciplined this time, God, that we would set a time and a place aside each day to intentionally spend time with you, Father. I pray, Father God, for those that might be here that don't know you. I pray that they would hear your call, God, that they would hear your invitation for salvation, and that they would accept that call and come into a personal one-to-one relationship with you, God. Father, help us all as we think through what's been said today. May it not fall to the ground, may it bear fruit in people's lives, God. Your word says that outside of you we can do nothing. In you we can do all things. May we be in the true vine and may we bear fruit for your kingdom, God. That we would know you, that this year we would encourage each other to spend one-to-one time with you. And that we would know you and that you would know us, God. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.